It's Thursday, May 29th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 64. We were wrong. We were so wrong. Don't listen. Runtime for this episode is 55 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast with a train in the background. My name is Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Tyler.
I was going to make an off the rails joke, but
I think I already took us there.
So. Yeah, you beat me to it. And I'm Zach.
Not joining us, sadly, is Ozzy Osbourne, who is busy.
On a substantially less crazy train, although the train that we're... You, dear listener, cannot hear the train, but the train is not that crazy, so...
It's probably like freight.
I'm going off the rails on a freight train?
Yeah, it doesn't have the same impact.
It sounds more dangerous.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I mean, those are... Have you seen a freight train? They're big, heavy. I could do some serious damage if it fell off a rail.
It could. And spill millions of dollars worth of merchandise, potentially. That's actually what they do, or what they do when trains spill their stuff, is actually just get a bunch of semis to go pick it up and finish the delivery.
I'm not really surprised. I mean, that's what we do with semis. They haul a lot of junk across the United States of America.
Of America.
We also have some sweet planes that do some of that.
Indeed.
And although, Spider-Man, apparently.
Wait, what?
Spider-Man and the U.S. Post Office have teamed up. You can get Spider-Man boxes and stamps.
Sweet.
They're also sponsoring Amazing Spider-Man despite not having any money. Also, Spider-Man, is who you would want as a courier?
Yeah.
He's never going to get bogged down by traffic, that's for sure.
He's going to be bogged down by supervillains and the weight of his responsibility and the fact that his aunt has cancer and that his girlfriend is dead.
And that he was his girlfriend because of the devil.
And that he has to go tell everyone, yeah, you know all the shit I've done the last 6 months? I was Dr. Octopus.
But he will not get stuck behind traffic.
Are you guys familiar with the folk legend of John Henry?
Vaguely. No.
The man who had to, like, drive railroad spikes and challenge a spike-driving machine, and he almost beat it, and then he died of exhaustion.
Yes, no. I'm familiar enough. It's an American legend, like...
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's the first I've heard of it.
I really want something like that to happen between Spider-Man delivering stuff and automated drones delivering stuff.
Spider-Man's never been a courier. He tried to get on a talk show once for money. He pro-wrestled for money. He took pictures of himself for money. He taught science for money.
Wait, he took pictures of... My God.
That's
Spider-Man
Parker's
started
entire...
Instagram.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Spider-Man, the first selfie.
He was a research scientist that had to come up with one invention per quarter for a living.
Define invention.
They never did, so I don't see the reason to.
Say, I could come up with one invention per quarter.
It had to be awesome. His boss had to say, yes, this is sufficiently awesome for you to keep your job.
I could come up with one real invention a year, maybe, but once per quarter seems like a pretty tight deadline. Although, I guess if that's all you're doing...
Yeah, maybe. And this is a world with, like, Tony Stark and Reed Richards.
Well, they've already invented everything. What do you even do at that point?
Invent something that plugs into their something.
Peter invented Parker particles and gave some kids Superman powers.
Wait, invented Parker particles?
Yes.
Wait, wow.
Science.
Oh. Also invented, like, web shooters.
Yeah, sure,
also
like science.
Also like a cryogenic machine for sticking limbs in that had been removed.
Oh.
No.
No, not Gwen.
No, he just tried to... No, I'm not going to talk about the storyline. No, I'm going to talk about other crazy stuff later, so I won't get into Spider-Man crazy stuff right now. Yeah, and he just got better from being Dr. Octopus. And he's like, guys, I was Dr. Octopus. And Captain America's like, okay, here's your membership card. If you need to talk to us, I'm pretty sure Hawkeye was replaced by his brother once, and I was the Red Skull for a while. We're here for you, Peter. And Mary Jane was like, yeah, that doesn't make anything better. You were still a dick, but I believe you.
You're a dick before you were Doc Ock?
No. It doesn't make the fact that you were a dick to me while you were Dr. Octopus any better. But I believe you. Also, there are going to be 12 TV shows based on comic books next season.
12?
What?
Yeah.
What? Okay, wait. Does S.H.I.E.L.D. count?
Yes.
Okay. Does Walking Dead count? Is that one of them? Okay. What are the others?
Arrow, returning. The Flash, which actually looks like it might be really good. Confusing everybody. They're doing an Agent Peggy Carter, which if you saw the first Captain America movie, she is Cap's love interest, and it's going to be a period piece, like Cold War spy stuff.
Oh, man. Can we just have L.A. Noir the show?
I'd be up for that. iZombie, which they're changing a lot from the source material. But it's about a zombie who has to eat brains to decompose. But when she eats a brain, she, like, inherits the memories of the person. And so to feel better about herself, she tries to solve their,
like,
problems.
Their unfinished business. Like,
yeah, but they're changing it a lot, so I don't know
how much that's going to stay.
Yeah. John Constantine, which looks like it'll be better than the movie. I think they're actually going to call him Constantine, which is correct, but maybe not, because everyone says Constantine.
Well, that is also a name of a city and an empire, and...
Yeah, but Alan Moore says it rhymes with wine.
Oh, well. He's been wrong about things.
Letter 44, which is about aliens coming, and, like, there's a new president, and, like, the old letter is like, I know you think I was a but aliens are coming, and that's why I did everything. And I've heard it's good, but I haven't read it.
Is it letter 44 because it's from the 44th president?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's another one I can't think of.
I'm surprised there's that many. And they're apparently releasing or potentially releasing a Deadlands show for Xbox One.
Yeah.
I heard that they were starting to release those without the Kinect.
Yep.
There's the rumor.
Bucks.
They are. Yeah.
That's a rumor, but as Penny Arcade said, the thing you have to understand about Microsoft rumors is they're all true.
I still don't know that it's worth picking one up, because I feel as though the Kinect is one of the integral parts of that system, and
is it? What do they actually use it for?
Navigation. It is so built to be navigated with the Kinect. There are so many things that are nested.
Like the
that
Xbox
it's a huge
On
part.
And all that stuff.
Hmm.
Also, part of the reason why they were insistent upon it shipping with it was so developers would know everyone would have it and would develop for it.
And
so,
now they aren't.
Yeah, so that seems like a bad move.
Were they really doing that poorly in sales compared to Sony?
Yeah.
Okay.
They keep saying, we are the best in the last month in sales at Best Buy's at 2 p.m. sort of statistics.
I'd still, if I was a developer, still just assume that everybody had the Xbox One with the Kinect enabled because it's designed to have the Kinect enabled.
The problem with them is that exclusives are so dead. People don't want to develop for the Xbox Kinect because they want it to be able to port to Sony or the PS4.
Or maybe the Wii U.
There's
maybe.
Even some of that.
Why would anybody bother porting to that piece of junk?
That's the reason no one ported to it in the first place, because no one thought anyone else was going to.
Yeah, the Wii U is in that catch-22 place of it needs to get titles so people will buy them, but no one wants to buy them because there aren't any titles. Although Nintendo will eventually fix that.
Well, you didn't necessarily say it in so many words, but that was what people said about the Wii, and that never happened.
It outsold everyone. Yeah. So.
And I feel like
the innovative movement or control scheme is what sold the Wii. It had nothing to do with actually good games being on.
Yeah, but I'm happy I got to play Twilight Princess, and I'm happy I got to play Skyward Sword, and I'm happy I got to play Mario Galaxy, and I'm happy I got to play Mario Kart Wii, even though I had a bad name.
The first one you listed was also on the GameCube.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm happy I got to play Super Smash Bros. Brawl. And I'm happy I got to play Donkey Kong Country Returns.
To be fair, I feel like it had maybe 8 good games, and that's pretty...
And they're all made by Nintendo.
That's
Okami.
The problem with it.
Okami was made by Capcom. It was. It's a
Which
really
is also
good
originally
game.
On the
PS2.
Yeah,
you
could also argue that Resident Evil 4 was a good hot app for that console. Which I did have fun with. I have to say.
Strong Bad's
a
cool game for awesome people.
I have to say, that was a fun game, but it was also ported to everything else and with a screen. So,
toasters.
Yeah, and toasters, microwaves, calculators.
My point was Nintendo made enough good games to justify buying the Wii, and I assume they will get there with the Wii U.
I kind of wish they would just go to being a third-party game developer.
Part of me, like...
And mobile developer? For the
3DS
is awesome.
Killing. So, this is completely tangential, but... Alex got a Layton game on the Android recently.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean it's a Layton game, meaning it shares the same, it's the same developer, and it has a guy whose last name happens to be Layton, but it actually plays more like Phoenix Wright.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the game. I can't remember the name. Like, don't you play as two brothers, one who's like an investigator and one who's a lawyer?
There's actually not a brother in it. It's called Layton Brothers, but there are no brothers. I don't know why it's called that. Although the main character's name is Alfendi. Alfendi Layton. Just what were
Bolivar
you thinking,
Trask.
Herschel? More, I don't know. I feel they're going to get there eventually. I mean, I have a Wii U now, so I can't really complain. I probably wouldn't have bought one of my own accord, but...
Yeah, well, I bought one feeling sort of pressed, and it hasn't quite really sold itself to me yet. Like, I still can't, don't feel I can recommend it, but we're getting closer.
Well, the only reason you bought one was because it was a, made a good Wii emulator.
Yeah.
And your Wii was dying.
Yeah.
Mine might be, or it just might have a crappy connection
to
my router.
I kind of want to play Child of Light on it, and that got ported to the Wii U.
You know, I watched the trailer for that, and I feel like that game's all
style.
Show, yeah, and not
yeah,
very much.
That's why I haven't played
gameplay.
It yet. I got to play DuckTales on it. That's pretty cool.
And Mega Man X.
Yeah, Mega Man X is so good, but I could have played that on my Wii.
Or, like, anything with a screen. So
PC came out for Windows 95.
Oh, yeah, that is true. That's actually where I first played that game, is on the
Wow.
computer. Yep. That's also where I first played Final Fantasy VII. So,
isn't that where you first played most games you've played?
No. No. What?
Probably more than any other console, but probably not more than the total sum of consoles.
So I did own a Super Nintendo, but I only had like 6 games for it. So
you had an N64.
I had a lot
you had a GameCube. You had an Xbox.
And a
you
PS2.
Had a PlayStation 2.
I played that. That is true. I have played the most games for the first time on the PS2.
PS2 probably still has the best library of any console if you just look at them like at their time.
That's more magnitude than anything else. That's quality by volume.
Well, although, yeah, but that's still quality.
You're gonna chance into it. You also don't.
The
think
Xbox
about the
360
that were,
was
terrible.
But the Xbox 360 was around like twice as long, and I still feel like the PS2 had more quality games than the 360 did.
I feel
it's
like
it's probably close.
I feel like the average quality of games for the 360 was higher.
Maybe. I don't know.
But there probably were not as
there
many.
There are a few really bad.
I mean, that's true of anything.
I think most Xbox 360 games probably hit that level of good. There were a few great games. There were a few mediocre games. But you don't really think about the good or mediocre because those are kind of interchangeable most of the time.
And
the games people talk about are the great ones and the ones that were really, really, really
that's true.
Bad.
In terms of community chatter, that's true of anything. No one really talks about the mediocre games. That's
the worst place you can be is to be mediocre and have no one talk about you.
That is what I've decided about or after playing so many games for this podcast is that the greatest sin you can commit is being mediocre because I remember even the horrible ones better than the mediocre ones.
Well, some of them, like the Warhammer 40K game, Space Marine, that was one mediocre game. It's the best I can say about it. I had fun with it. I had fun with it the first time. The multiplayer was actually kind of fun.
If a little unbalanced.
No, multiplayer was actually kind of balanced.
Not really.
Yeah, the Devastators did horrible, horrible things at range. But if a, for example, a Assault Marine with their mobility got up close, they could annihilate them. And Tactical Marines did pretty well because they could move around much better than Devastators, but they didn't have the close-in prowess or the speed of the Assault Marines, so they were a balance between the two.
Tyler, are you going to ask someone what they've been playing, or do I have to conduct this crazy train?
I just kind of assumed that you were, like, getting there with all the other stuff.
You said
stuff,
you were
but
going to.
No, well, I kind of assumed that you were going to start talking about the games you've been playing because you were talking about games.
That's not our tradition.
Okay, well, fine.
That's not how this podcast works. Have you been on 62 episodes of this podcast? Because I'm starting to question it.
Okay, well, fine then. Zach, what have you been playing?
Fine, put me on the spot. I've been playing a little bit of League. I got some games in with, because Jeremy didn't make it to our game this Monday, with Cody and Jason. Just bot games, because Jason is brand new to League. Like, as new as you.
Yeah, it's pretty painful.
Not really. It's more painful when I look at Cody's score and go, how have you died this much?
How are you still so bad?
Does
Cody listen to this podcast?
No.
Good.
I've told him before he's bad. Like, I will tell him to his face, you should probably do this, and probably don't do that. If you're close enough to a guy to be auto-attacked and killed by a mage, you need to haul balls away from the fight, not turn around and go back.
Not to change the subject, but speaking of, does anyone listen to this podcast? I looked at my Google Plus page for the first time in like a year, and I have 2,000 views, and I'm like, what? The only stuff that shows up here is when I comment on Tyler's comments on the episode. Anyway.
Well, that's we actually just passed, I think, 15,000 page views or maybe.
Guys,
maybe
give us some reviews on iTunes. Then maybe some people will listen to this podcast and we'll have fans, and they can draw some sweet fan art. And
wait, fan art of what?
I don't know, like Walter White is Zordon.
We could have them outsource our Genesis game bingo sheet.
You're already trying to do that.
I know.
We need fan participation.
I think we need
fans first.
Yeah, well.
I think I'm going to put a widget on the website that just automatically generates a bingo card out of like 16 categories or something.
That'd be pretty good.
Anyway.
I've been playing another game. But first I want to ask you guys an opinion real quick.
Yes.
No.
Thanks.
Face up.
Discuss.
Face down. Attack. Right. Go
so
defend.
If you were playing like Skyrim for an hour.
I would kill myself. Go on.
It's not
and
that
it dropped
bad.
Like Mehrunes Dagon from Oblivion in front of you and said, you got to kill him to win the game. Is At he... best, you have a silver sword.
Is he actually that good?
Yes.
I don't even know.
Like end game.
Okay.
Godlike Titan Dragon guy. And it said, you have to beat him to win the game.
Okay.
You got an hour. At best, you have, you know, maybe an upgraded destruction.
I see where this analogy is going and it doesn't translate. This is a straw man argument. But.
I don't know what you're talking about. Continue with your straw man.
Would this constitute good game design to you?
I would say probably not, but...
All right.
Depends on what you're trying to go for.
What's my straw man, Jeremy?
You're trying to compare to FTL. The difference is that in an hour of Skyrim, you can't progress to that level. Whereas in an hour of FTL, you can also, like the super god dragon at the end of a 40-hour game is different than the super god ship at the end of a one-hour game.
I'm going to have to agree that is a straw man. The end boss is actually beatable, and you have more than a silver dagger.
Well, yeah.
In fact, I have actually had ships that are way more powerful than the end boss, and it's just a cakewalk.
I've beaten FTL. I'm so happy.
That would be like playing Skyrim for like a week, but all the chests that you get, instead of being scaled to your level, are filled with random goods. So occasionally, you'll get a copper dagger at level 40, and occasionally, you'll get Death Sword +2 at level 1.
I'd argue that's still bad game design, but that has more to do with the range being so disparate.
Yeah, I think that's mostly where the straw man comes in, is it's a...
So have you been playing FTL? Do you not like it?
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Oh.
That's why I haven't said anything when you guys were talking about it, is because I was going to say something, and if I talk about something off the mics, I will not talk about it on them.
So
which
anyway,
is a bad habit I have.
Do you feel that's an appropriate analogy for FTL?
It was a little bit of a straw man, intentionally a straw man. The boss is
It's hard.
The boss is pretty I think you get used to it after a while.
This is probably a difference in the way you and I are wired, but I never, like, am mad when I lose to the boss.
Well,
like, that never upsets me.
I actually win the game most of the time I play it now, so.
I haven't gotten to that
point. I have gotten to the boss quite a few times now. I've never beaten it. I've gotten into the third stage twice. At which point, I lose, because I have no
health.
No resources left.
Resources. There's no way to make running repairs.
There is, but there's no way to do it consistently.
Well, you have to get the repair arm, which is still not that good, because it doesn't repair that many.
Repair drone.
Yeah, or be lucky and be right next to a repair shop right next to you, which
It's a valid criticism, but it's... There are ways around.
Because you don't have a consistent way of upgrading your ship to the point where you can actually take on the boss on a reasonable footing, you're basically just getting to the boss and praying to have a good enough ship to get to that point to win.
I kind of agree with you, but do you think the game isn't fun?
I enjoy it up to the point when the boss shows up, kicks me in the nuts, and keeps kicking until I die.
See, that was a common criticism of it a year ago when it came out, and a lot of people played it for, 10 hours and then said, yeah, but the boss sucks. And I don't know, it just doesn't bug me when the boss kills me. And I can't tell you you're wrong, because, like I said, there are all these things that are wrong with the game, but it's still fun, so it's still a good game.
Maybe.
But if it's not fun for you, then obviously that argument doesn't work.
I hate the boss. I have only been able to unlock the additional forms of the Kestrel Cruiser. I have the Taurus and the upgraded form of the other variant of that. I don't know how to get the third Taurus upgrade.
For all the third upgrades, you need to have advanced mode on and get to the boss.
Yeah, just get to the boss with both A and B layout.
Just
B layout, actually.
I haven't even played as the second one.
Yeah.
I like the Red Tail.
Yeah, the Red Tail's the ship I won on.
Is that the second form of the
castle? Yeah, the one with the four lasers.
One's ridiculous. I love starting with the four lasers.
I don't think it's like overpowered or anything like that. It's mainly just because of the fact that you get four crew. I like the four crew.
Yeah, that's good too, because you can have a guy in shields, engines.
Have you played with boarding parties yet, out of curiosity?
I
have not, because I don't really like sending people out because my guys apparently don't understand how to fight when someone shows up.
That's why you just vent the oxygen.
That's what I do.
I usually draw people to the medical bay.
That works.
Yeah, that'll
and fight
help.
Them there.
But with like, four people, I don't like to do that because you can only fit three in the med bay. But
but usually I have one guy who's one-on-one-ing somebody elsewhere while they're roaming or while their other guy's roaming around, and you can just hide somebody.
Mantis cruiser with a clone bay.
I have not been able to unlock any other cruisers. I want to.
Yeah, past the tourists, you actually have to like start getting random. Well, they are random. You actually have to start doing like specific quests.
Well, also
which is silly.
Also, if you beat the game with a ship, you unlock the next ship. But you've said that's pretty hard, and I agree.
I haven't been able to.
It's been so long.
No, that's not how you unlock layouts. But if you beat the game with the Kestrel, you get the NG cruiser.
I believe.
If you beat it with any of the versions, you get the next ship in line.
With the NG cruiser, you actually got... I got him by getting to level to space 5.
Yeah, there are also quests that you can get to unlock each ship, but you can't reliably get those.
The NG cruiser was just specifically get to the 5th...
Yeah, that one's okay.
Jump point.
That one's like the obligatory unlock.
Oh, okay.
I tried.
I don't remember getting it, so I'm
getting
you.
Some karma on the Kestrel.
Yeah.
When I first did that one, so I tried getting some karma going because I'm a believer in karma. So I renamed my crew.
Yeah.
This was the LTOVG Cruiser.
Mine was the USS Batman.
I didn't change the name because I didn't realize. I've just recently realized you can change the name of a cruiser. So it was just the Kestrel, but I had. Me as the pilot, I think you were on weapons, and
that's
were on
your
shields.
Problem right there.
See, I have me as the pilot, you on weapons, and Tyler on engines.
You got eaten by a giant alien spider before I made it to the level 5.
In my games, I usually end up ejected into an asteroid field when I get looking for something.
But
if you die, it's almost always because of a missile hit.
I have actually been having fun with the game up until I hit the boss. It's a fun game up until I hit the boss. I got the achievement for having everybody on board by accident.
Yeah, I get a lot of those.
It wasn't by accident. I actually realized that I started with a bunch of them.
Everybody on board?
It's the United Federation.
Yeah,
I think
it's one specifically for the first ship to have one of each race. And you don't actually need one of each in advance.
It's six guys, I think.
Yeah,
you have to have six people.
Oh, just six. Okay, I was going to say there's a Federation cruiser that you unlock that you actually do need one of each race. Except for the Lanius, because they weren't introduced when that achievement was...
That's one of them I got by accident. I also got... Actually, I intended to get the one where you get the one left stand, or one health in repair, because I was like...
I have never managed that.
Oh, I managed that, like, I thought it was easy. Like, I was specifically not repairing to try and get it, and just saying, this is my goal, I don't care about winning, because the boss is really hard anyway, and I was able to get it after 2 or 3 tries.
I wasn't intentionally trying to do it, I just happened to only have one health.
And you're like, okay.
Or I was almost to one health, I was underneath the solar nova stars. And it did one initial damage, and I was not really worried about it because I was next to a store.
Yeah.
So I let it deal enough damage to put me at one health.
Yeah.
And then just jumped to the store and fixed it.
That's a good idea.
And got the achievement.
I did something similar. I was in a fight, but I had my jump up and I had one health left. I knew I was next to a store. So I'm like, yeah, I could fight this and try to win, or I could just jump and get my achievement.
Good
call. I won the fight that I was in when I got there.
Yeah.
And then just
and
did
then
that.
You were on fire.
Yeah. And so, then,
I'm on fire. Oh God, I'm on fire.
I got the four systems offline with the NG cruiser. By accident.
Yeah. That's one that is not too hard, especially if you get a second ion weapon.
Which one is that? Just disable 4 enemy systems or something?
Yeah.
I got it by accident because I was in an ion pulser.
Oh.
Oh, that makes it easy.
I forgot about
it. I wasn't even trying. I was trying to get have 3 drones active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that just because I find getting a bunch of ion weapons on the Engi cruiser to be effective. So
I don't like drones.
Just ion weapons in general. I didn't at first, but now a year later and many, many battles later, I find I like drones, but mostly for defense drones and have my weapons be attacking.
Offensively, they're too vulnerable.
Yeah, I don't like them offensively, especially because you'll sometimes run into that ship that just has 3 anti-drones, and you're like, well, now what do I do?
Wrong. Well, it's not even that. They're unreliable for targeting.
Okay, they're also random.
I like mind control, though.
Yeah.
There's the big... That was the 2 times I've done well against the boss, is I mind-controlled the guy on the shields.
I kind of agree with you. The one time I won, just to segue into that story, I was on the Red Tail. I swapped one of my lasers for a heavy laser, one for a double shot laser, one for I think it was a hull beam. It was either a hull beam or just the standard beam, and one for a breach bomb, which is an incredibly effective weapon.
I had a breach missile.
Yeah, breach missiles are also good.
The bombs ignore the anti-drones. They are less accurate, but they will ignore
Yeah, they can't
drones
get shot
that
down.
Get shot down, but they don't deal any hull damage. They just attack the system.
And
but you just put them on the shields. You lower the shields and you shoot all the lasers to get them down. And then I also had drones. I had a defense and one defense and one combat droid, which just added a little extra damage.
I may try that next time.
Really quick.
Load down with defensive drones.
Tyler's boss strategies, or boss tips, I guess. Hacking was introduced with the advance update. If you send a hacking drone to sit on their shields, people can't get in to help repair them.
Oh, yeah, that actually would be effective. I didn't think about that.
Doors locked down.
I don't really like the hacking, but that would actually be effective.
I had a hacking drone on one of them, and I'm not sure why. I put it on something, but I don't remember what it was on.
Oxygen
I think it was on the
good one, but
I think it was on the freaking cloaking because that was
okay.
That
yeah,
was
that
pissing
would also
me off.
The other thing is, I find generally what deals the most damage is their missile launcher. So the quicker you can take that out, the more likely you are to survive.
I don't know which missile launcher it is, one is the missile launcher.
It's the second one from the right. So the it goes ion, laser, missile launcher, hull beam, and it's just one guy on an auto firing thing. But if you can take out the guy who's in there, he can stop repairing it, or he can't repair it anymore. And then if you have full shields, you're basically invincible for the rest of the match. The problem is getting enough firepower to take out four layers of shields and then also do enough damage to that room.
I was a little annoyed, though, when I looked at what the achievement was for what Jeremy pointed out, the astronomically low odds. I thought it was something for doing something well. Instead, it was,
get hit.
We're going to reward you for having our RNG f*** you over.
Well, it's get hit five times in a row when you have max power engines. But the thing was,
haven't done that.
I just got, I don't think max power engines are that good, but I had the scrap to get them. I had the backup battery, so I would just hit the backup battery and pull out the engines, and then it just showed up, and I'm like, oh, cool, an achievement.
You also get diminishing returns for upgrading your engine.
Yeah, that's why I don't think it's that good to do, I had the scrap.
My other plans weren't working, so I went with the idea of, let's try evading this time.
No.
So I had a really good pilot, fully upgraded engines, good guy in the engine room.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you've done all this work. You have a 45% chance to evade any shot coming at you. You're going to get hit five times and die.
Yeah, it feels like it's a lot less than that. Or I feel like you have a smaller chance of evading than you actually do.
Yeah, so. I don't know. Like, evasion was not, like, I'm going to go in doing this. It's just like, well, I can upgrade my crew transporter, but I just sort of bought that on a whim and my one Mantis boarder died the second time I sent him, or I can get all the points and engines and just hit the battery to try and avoid.
That's actually the most effective way to take out the enemy ship is you have, like, a level 2 teleporter, teleport into each of their weapon systems individually and cripple them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that requires you to have a boarding or a teleporter, and I didn't the first, like, 12 times I played, so.
I do kind of want to go with a boarding strategy, but it's just not the way I think.
No, the Mantis Cruiser, once you get it, that's its entire strategy, is board.
The Lanius guys, get a couple of those guys and send them as a boarding party, because they drain all the oxygen what they're in.
Well, no, what you do with that is you destroy their oxygen, and then you send them in.
Well, yeah, but for the drones, you could totally send landing.
Oh, yeah, boarding drones are pretty good.
I don't have them on my crew very often for whatever reason.
The third upgrade of the Kestrel has them.
Oh, really?
The C layout, at least on the iPad version, has a Lanius crewman.
I haven't played any of the C layouts. I'm still trying to unlock all the rest of the stuff. I keep trying to get the Crystal Cruiser, and I can't get it.
Most of the C layouts have a
Lanius
on them.
And also, like, hacking or clone bay.
Since the C layouts were added in advanced version, as were the Lanius.
Yep.
I don't think there's a hacking bay on board the Kestrel C layout.
I don't think so. There might be mind control?
No, there's not. I think it's only the Lanius guy.
The Taurus C layout gets one. Although it's not called the Taurus when it's a C layout. But, yeah, no, the NG ship C.
Yeah, I know it
gets
does.
Hacking. So.
I think I was dead.
Yeah, I usually am. Although, actually, I saved and quit when you got here, so.
Oh, no, I have a continue-up, so I don't want
to. Whatever.
I very rarely quit in the middle of one, but I feel like this game would be super good for it. When I first played it, I was lamenting that it wasn't a mobile app, because I'm like, man, this would translate so well.
And so were a lot of people, and they said, pay us and we'll make it.
And so we did, although they didn't do it for Android.
Well, I've already gotten my $10 worth, because that was the reason why I only played three games of League on Saturday, or on Sundays, because I got this, and I'm like, I'm going to beat my head against the wall until I've beaten the wall down.
Yeah,
FTL's really good for that.
And I have like 40 unlistened to podcasts, so I've been playing FTL because it's a good podcast game. Mostly because I started listening to Ranger Danger, which I want to give a shout out.
Ranger Danger.
They're a podcast similar to us. They're younger Australian guys who got into Power Rangers about the time of In Space.
Okay.
And are going through and watching every episode of Power Rangers and then
recording
a podcast on it. Yes, incredibly. They're all like, How did they, how was this written? I mean, I thought the layout of a Power Rangers story was kids have some sort of high school trouble. Kids face monster that is allegory for high school trouble. Kids summon Megazord. Monster is destroyed. High school problem is resolved. But this is like, they're teleporting everywhere, and Rita's just shouting, and she's like, he doesn't like spiders. I'll make a spider monster. Ha ha!
I'm saying, is the Megazord a metaphor for puberty? Is puberty solving all their high school problems?
No. Also, sadly, apparently Power Rangers Super Megaforce isn't very good.
Oh.
Despite being based on the Sentai, where they are space pirates who have the powers of all the previous Sentai. How do you mess that up? Their Megazord has a pirate, like, a ship wheel. That's how they control it.
That's amazing. How do you mess that up?
I don't know. I kind of want to watch just to see.
Oh, man. One Piece in space.
Ah, I would watch that. Because I'm listening to that and I'm on a Power Rangers overdose, I'm seriously considering getting all of Geo Ranger. And all of Power Rangers and watching each episode of each and comparing them.
What is that like?
That's the source material.
Ah.
And while Tommy Oliver is the best Power Ranger, the first thing the Green Ranger does in Geo Ranger is run out of his cave, morph, jump on the Megazord, get in, say, go to hell, Geo Rangers, punches them all in the back of the head, throws them out of the Megazord, beats the crap out of them, then Kamehameha's them out of their costumes.
That's amazing.
What?
But Kamehameha's
them? Yeah, he like does the Kamehameha pose. A giant black ball hits them. There's an explosion. They all go flying back, and then they're in their civilian forms.
That is pretty excellent.
First thing he does.
Oh, Japan. Never change.
Whereas the first thing the Green Ranger does is fight the Red Ranger to a draw in a karate tournament. Still pretty cool, but...
less awesome than hijacking the Megazord.
Yeah.
How do you even get in?
He jumped up on top of it, like jumped to the back, punched in the door.
All right.
Certified badass. So anyway, yeah, check out Ranger Danger. It's a pretty good podcast. They talk about Rita's sex life a surprising amount of the time.
Well, I mean, to be fair, she has all those minions.
She has like a sex pad that she has like an apartment on Earth that they just referred to as Rita's shag pad. Because she got all those other guys on the moon. She needs some privacy. Playing all this listening to all this Power Rangers stuff and playing FTL has given me weird dreams. I'll say that.
About Rangers in space?
Surprisingly, no. It's but stuff along those lines. Plus, Power Rangers in space is considered like the second best series.
Oh, Power Rangers?
Yeah.
Okay.
After RPM, the one in a post-apocalyptic future where there's only one domed city left in the world because a sentient computer virus has killed everyone.
Remarkably similar to the Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Except without the computer virus and more giant alien space worms.
So anyway, FTL's pretty good. Except the boss, if you don't like the boss. Which, it is a valid criticism, but...
I do beat it most of the time, but I have yet to beat that game on normal. So, you know. I think there should be instead called normal, hard, and are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, that's what I said, but that's semantics, basically. I do agree that it would be better.
That's one of the very first things we talked about on this podcast, is whether or not games should even have a mode called easy, and whether or not that's demeaning to people.
Yeah.
My answer is, screw those guys anyway. But
what have you been playing, Tyler?
I finally beat Okami. My God, that game is so poorly paced.
So now you're no longer going to come on the podcast and say, I think I'm almost done.
No, I'm actually done with Okami. Although, they give you basically a New Game Plus mode after you beat it and a bunch of different skins, which is kind of neat, but nothing particularly interesting or awesome. But, no, Okami was a really good game. I was surprised by how awesome that game was.
Lots of people liked it.
Yeah, if you've never played Okami, it's like $10 now, so I highly recommend pouring some time into it. I definitely recommend the Wii version, because how would you even draw without the Wiimote? But
very carefully.
Yeah, no, I tried doing it on the PS2 controller. I'm like, nope, that's not happening. So I played Okami. I played like a couple hours of FTL because, I started playing Alchemist of Alrevis again, and I was kind of underwhelmed by the combat system at first, but once you enter the second semester, suddenly, you know how like some RPGs you get like a party of like 12 people, but you can only use 3 at a time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, this, you carry all 12 people around with you. You only have 3 active in combat. You can switch them out like in Final Fantasy X.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Except you can do it as assist attacks. So
cool.
So you can actually chain them.
Do those have like a cooldown or?
A little, yeah. When you switch out, the person who just got switched out has a cooldown before they can come back in.
Okay.
But if you initiate a combat, everyone on your support cast can come in at once, and you can actually chain all of them into each other. So you can have one guy attack and then call in another guy and then switch them out with another guy and do that over. You can one-hit KO some bosses if you're careful when you start, or if you choose when you start it well. There's no levels in the game, which is odd for a turn-based JRPG type thing.
That's odd for any RPG. Every RPG I've ever played has had a level mechanic in it.
And it uses, like, turn order is represented by, like, a card thing, and you can actually, like, meta affect the cards and, like, move them around in the turn order thing, which is pretty neat. But there are no levels in it, and the only way you progress your characters is by synthesizing items in-game. And then you have something kind of like the sphere grid, and you, by synthesizing new items, can go to new spheres on the grid.
Huh. Sounds interesting.
No, it's pretty good. It's a surprisingly good game. Also, almost every single cutscene has voice acting, and there are like 28 voice-acted characters in this game.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm sure someone does more than one voice, but it's an impressively high-quality game. I can see why it got such a high rating on the totally non-emulation site I totally didn't get it from. But other than that, I also play Ed Got Shattered Horizon.
Oh, yeah. I played some of that with you.
That's not very good.
Oh, well, I like it. It's certainly more interesting than Counter-Strike. I feel like it would really benefit from mechs. Basically, it's a zero-G shooter in space, and you have a jetpack. And that's pretty
much
its
about
thing.
Playing with your orientation. You can, like, spin around because there's no center of gravity. It's got bots in a pretty good co-op mode. I really like the, like, point-taking defense one.
Yeah, that's definitely my favorite, although Last Stand is also pretty good.
I think that's the one I meant.
Oh.
The one where they have to take your points in order, and you can take them back.
Where there's, like,
a horde
of them.
And you have to last a certain time.
Yeah.
And waves get progressively larger.
Yeah, that they actually added that with the latest update, although the latest update was, like, a year ago. This game is actually so unpopular that, one, there are public servers, so I don't know who's hosting them. Apparently, Last Standing Bunnies. But, apparently someone's still hosting them, but there's never anyone on them. Ed owns 400% of the user base.
Contrast to StarCraft, a 20-year-old game that still has servers that fill up.
Well, I learned that Blizzard still supports all their old Battle.net stuff.
That's pretty
sweet.
Which
is a little ridiculous.
And they have 23 mountains of money.
Well, there's that.
They might as well just keep doing it instead of getting bad press. Plus, they might want to play some Diablo sometime.
I played a little bit of this before we started recording. What I said before, you know, when I said that there was something about the game that I wasn't going to mention.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask about that.
It's the map design.
Oh?
The map design is primarily because you're in space. There's not a lot to do with it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But the map design is boring and unintuitive.
You're talking about
intuitive. Yes.
I didn't get that. I actually agree with you.
And, you know, I don't mind the weapons and all that mechanic. The assault rifle is blatantly the best weapon in that game, as far as I can tell.
Railgun. Obviously the best weapon. No, Ed agrees with you. Ed thinks that the assault rifle is easily the best.
I think it's pretty much the best. I think the machine gun has some situational use. Same with the railgun.
Primarily defensive because you can't move around with
it. I prefer the submachine gun to the assault rifle for that same purpose, but mostly because I like to get in a little closer.
The map is just, it's too big with not enough in it.
To be fair, you only played one map. I mostly agree with you. There's this one cool map that's like a sort of, not a space station, but it looks like a derelict spaceship, and the whole map is like inside it, and it's got like holes on either side, so it's kind of a big cylinder that you can also go on the outside of.
Okay,
that's a pretty good map.
That would be a bit better, but like,
maybe Flipside wasn't the best one to
even
have you tested on.
Even most, in Battlefield 2, because I haven't really played the newer ones, but because it's a game built on, you know, vehicles and whatnot, you can have these really, really big maps, but they're usually fairly interesting because there's stuff in them. There's buildings to hide behind. There's corridors and alleyways to get in and hide and move around and all that stuff. This is just at least the map you put me on, was a rock.
Yeah.
And there was nothing else in or around this.
I also only
rock.
Did it with teams of 8, and the servers can handle up to teams of 20. That is one of the larger maps, and that was probably a mistake to have you start on that one, but I agree. That's actually one of the things I've noticed in general about this game. While I have fun playing it, the levels all feel really similar, even if they have completely different layouts, because they use the same palette on everything, which is space rock gray, which is a big problem for me.
Are all the maps as big?
No. They are of varying sizes and layouts.
Okay.
But
Battlefield 2 did an interesting thing.
Oh?
Is that the maps were actually sized based on number of players.
Oh, that's really sweet.
So you could have a big map or a big server and you'd have a big map. Whereas if you had a small server, you could play that same map, but it would cut off earlier in the game.
on the map. So you'd have maybe 3 spawn points instead of 5.
It would basically crop the map depending on the number of players.
Yep.
That's actually really cool. Why don't more games do that?
I don't know. Battlefield 2 and then 2142 are the only ones I've ever seen do it.
If you designed it very specifically, that might break it a little, but Battlefield would definitely lend itself well to that because all you need is cover.
Yeah, so. I think that's mostly it. We haven't mentioned our game yet.
Well, but there's a reason for that.
Well, I don't want to make this a Power Rangers podcast, but I have a story going into that. When I was doing my research on GeoRanger and Power Rangers, and if you want to see me write a series on that, you should comment on this episode and convince me to. But I was doing some research, and I learned something like the rest of the story that I didn't know about GeoRanger.
Okay.
So, you're familiar with Power Rangers, right? Both
yeah.
of you?
Yeah, kind of.
You know that Tommy Oliver, the original Green Ranger, was like the worst person ever and was lazy and was always like in detention or at karate practice
yeah.
or something. So he would only show up to the last possible moment to save the day.
Because it's like, eh, I'm too lazy to change into my green outfit. Yeah.
In the original, it's because that character like died and has been brought back to life, but he only has like 72 hours to live. And as long as he's in this cave, he won't, his time won't expire. But if he leaves, it'll start like going down. And so he only shows up when the Rangers really need him to save them at the last moment.
That's actually a really good reason to have that as a plot device.
That's
the best
interesting.
It's the best justification for that I've ever heard.
See,
so.
I knew this. What I didn't know was that much like Robin, Toei had a poll to decide whether the Green Ranger would find a way to beat this and live or die.
Okay.
The fans voted that he should live. But in order to teach the children a lesson that you don't always get what you want and you can't cheat death, they killed him anyway.
Before his time limits?
Wow.
No, it's in a dramatic fashion.
Okay.
He has a dream where he's on the River Styx and he sees this boy and he finds the boy and he prevents him from dying. And then when he dies, he's on the River Styx, but where the boy is, he's gone. And so he gets a triumphant thing and he gives the Red Ranger, his brother, his powers.
Okay. That's kind of
funny.
So
speaking of disappointment... Cruising USA.
I would like to propend all these discussions with, I had a serious nostalgia factor for this game.
I thought this game was terrible and didn't understand why Zach kept bringing it up as something he wanted to get around to. I didn't think it was this bad, though.
I don't remember ever saying I wanted to get around to it multiple times.
Well, whenever you were like, oh, it's my turn to choose this week, well, that's something that would come up. That was always on
really?
Your list. Yeah.
I played probably like 30 hours of this game when I was a kid. I don't know how.
I don't.
It's so bad.
I got, normally I only play like a half an hour of the games because I'm lazy. This time I got through a half an hour of the game and went, I've seen the whole thing.
I would like.
There's not a lot left in here.
Even Mighty Morphin Ranger Danger didn't make this game any better.
I'm going to, when making the show notes, just to help emphasize how terrible this is, find a compilation of all the sound clips, because that guy singing at the beginning of the game is.
The graphics are so bad. Titillating women that thrust their boobs at you and wave the go flag.
Did you get the first place trophy?
Yeah, of course.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so in case you haven't gathered, Cruisin' USA is a racing game.
Kinda.
It is a racing game. It is a game about racing.
I suppose that's true.
But it was an arcade game that had a steering wheel and a clutch. And
I don't think it didn't have
a
full
clutch.
Did it have a full
clutch?
They still have one in Pizza Hut. I was there 2 days ago to pick up a pizza. It has a clutch.
Yeah, you do
or
have
actually
to...
some kids playing it. I was surprised.
You do have to drop the clutch to shift gears.
Cool.
But that doesn't translate to a controller at all because it comes press X to shift. And why? Why would you even have that?
C button, actually. If you use the C stick, up and down, change gears.
Okay. That's actually kind of cool. It was X on the classic controller.
Awesome. Yeah, on the GameCube controller, it was...
C stick sounds better, honestly.
There was another button that did it, but I found that the C stick worked, so I just used that.
But essentially, you race around the country in various recognizable environments, such as the Golden Gate Blob and.
The Golden Gate Bridge is a heck of a lot longer than I remember.
Did we mention the graphics are terrible?
Oh, and the controls. Every time you try to turn, instead of, gradually turning when you barely move the stick, no, you go a full, 15 degrees, and then another, 15 degrees, so, a total of 45 every time you turn slightly.
You know what else this game is lacking?
Hmm?
There's no brake.
Yeah, there is.
Is there?
Yeah, there is.
What is it?
It was left button on the, on the classic controller, right button was go, which is a bad place to put it, in my opinion. And left was break.
Left was go on the GameCube.
So maybe right was break.
On the original N64 controller, it was Z to go, and left and right shoulder buttons simultaneously to break.
What?
Yeah. How do you...
Do you have to? Is this a co-op game?
Well, it's also,
you know, you have two. One guy is on brake and one guy is on steering. You know, like whenever you see a show with the kids driving, one's with the pedals, the other one's steering. Is that how that's supposed to work? Because I don't know how you're gonna get. I suppose they don't want you ever slowing down, but
the first thing I did was remap that to just one of the shoulder buttons. But
oh god, that's awful.
And oh god, it's so bad. And the music is so.
I think the music has. It's like you have five different tracks. They're 10-second loops.
Oh yeah, you can change through the tracks, but none of them are worth listening to, which is why I was listening to podcasts.
One of them is better than the others, but it's still only like mediocre. So.
Okay, and the gameplay, you have to get first to go on. There are also checkpoints with time that are pointless that give you more time because you're timed, but if to have any hope of even maybe finishing the race.
It's not going to matter.
Well, but in addition, the AI is so rubber bandy that it's pretty much completely random whether you win or not. They have, you know, the records for times for each race, and if you get it, you're like, hey, enter your initials. I did a race, got number one, but made third place. I had to redo that race, got the number five best time,
but won
by like a mile.
See, I didn't have that. The checkpoints, I feel, are a holdover from it being an arcade game.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they're trying to suck quarters. They just didn't bother to take it out.
I'm sure that's why the AI is rubber bandy, too.
But yeah, like, I started this game, and I didn't know what button was go.
I'm sitting there
at the starting line, shifting up and down and fiddling with all the buttons, trying to figure out which one made me go. And finally, I figured it out. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have to restart this one anyway because they're going to be, you know, at the finish line by this point because I spent so much time. Nope, I started passing people left and right, and I'm sitting there going, you guys just stop and wait? Is this like a gentleman's agreement I wasn't in on?
Like, oh, man, that guy's having a hard time pulling out. We should wait for him.
Speaking of, this is nothing racing games need, but there's no mini game to, like, go faster at the start of the race, which just makes the 3-2-1 go so boring and pointless, in my opinion.
It's actually kind of funny because a lot of, like, I don't know if the real serious ones like Forza or anything Forza I know doesn't do this.
Yeah.
Maybe it does.
Well, I didn't find those like, fun anyway, but go
Formula
on.
One doesn't do that and all that. But like, some of the Need for Speed games will have what is a pseudo mini game. Like, if you had the right revs on it.
Yeah. You get a slightly better
It'll
takeoff.
Have a green arrow and you'll get a slightly better takeoff.
That's also the game a difference. Much more interesting though.
Well, that's also there's a difference between, you know, the serious hardcore racing games, which you don't really care for. And I think I'm the only one who has ever played those for a good period of time for fun. This is not one of them, is the long story
too.
This should have something like that. This should have something more. This feels like a game that needs turbo.
This
honestly.
Game has so little to do. Don't drive into cars, drive.
That's actually my biggest problem is running into cars. I hit a semi. It bounced up into the air and did a full 720 before falling down.
And everything does a 720 when you run into it.
And they just look like blobs. This is an N64. This looks worse than Mario 64. So much worse.
Well,
and there's so much less going on.
The cars look okay.
They look like rectangular blobs coming at you.
Yeah,
the cars coming at you. The racing cars. Look all right. They actually look like some work was into those. At least your cars look all right. The ones you can choose from.
I agree.
The terrain
is awful.
And
that's the civilians are terrible.
The civilians are. I think there are three different types. I think there's civilian car, civilian truck, and bus.
Yep.
And that's it. There's nothing else. And usually you'll see one or two of these after a mile. Like there was one. Did you guys play?
I call
like,
it
the Nevada Desert.
Yeah.
You know how it is driving through the Nevada desert. That was the level that the AI was so bad on.
Desert Bus is probably better than this game, if only because that's the intent of Desert Bus.
Yeah, I wanted to like this game because I remember playing it at arcades and stuff, and I had fun with it because you put in a couple quarters. You don't spend the level of time with it, I think, in an arcade where you really get that feeling of,
this
really?
Is terrible.
This is it? This is all you got?
I never played it in an arcade. I think I maybe did once, but after I played it on the N64, and I owned this game for a while before selling it back, and I dumped a lot of time into it, and I don't know how I managed that because it's so bad.
I had San Francisco Rush on the
I had Top Gear Overdrive
before, but that was a much better game than this. It looked better. Played better. The AI was better.
I would go on. You didn't like Mach Rider or F-Zero, right, Zach? Those were better games than this, weren't they?
Yeah. There's more going on in those.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's not great, but you have stuff to shoot. In F-Zero, you have, like, the curving. And even your health, which not necessarily a good addition to a racing game, but it's something. It's something you've got to consider. Well, and I think the graphics in both of those are better, quite frankly.
I think they're on equal footing with graphics, but that's not anything good.
I think
that's
F-Zero looks great, honestly.
I disagree with you. I think F-Zero looks better than this game in terms of being able to recognize stuff. I think Mach Rider's about even because stuff, like, doesn't come up as soon as I would like it.
I think Excitebike is more fun, or I know it's more fun. There's less going on, but it's so precise, and the controls are so good.
And it's not Cruisin' USA. You know, they made sequels?
Yeah, Cruisin' World and Cruisin' Space.
Cruisin' Space? Is that a thing?
No, I made it up.
It's just, there's nothing going on in this game, and it's, because like I said, I like racing games. I
not
went into
this game.
And I wanted to like it, because like I said, I liked the arcade, because it was fun. There's just nothing going on.
Of the three of us, I think I like racing games the least, and I'm glad to see that my opinion is exactly the one you have. So maybe it's not so much that racing games are bad, but I've just played bad ones, although.
Well,
I don't.
One of the things about racing games is managing your braking and turning and all that.
Technical precision. This has none of that.
Technical precision, learning your track. This doesn't have any of that. I'm going to hold down the go button until I run out of time because I ran into something, or I hit the finish line.
Yeah,
very
good.
That's Burnout, but you can actually avoid Burnout.
See, this game would be better with a terrible boss at the end that super
giant alien space worm.
Burnout, though, you're trying to run into things. There's more going on in Burnout because you're either trying to knock them, your opponents out of the race, or trying to avoid being knocked out.
And you have the nitro and points. This game would benefit from points for no reason because, like, the feedback is so bad, too. It doesn't feel good when you win a race. It's not like a yay or, like, balloons or flashing lights or
sound bites. It doesn't even feel bad
when
you lose.
You get the weird, like motion cap clip of the chick with the trophy.
It's totally
going,
like just a video someone took on their home.
See, it'd be better if there was a bit more motion, but there's like it's like a three clip or a three frame clip.
Maybe entering your initials isn't fun, but that's probably the thing that has the most states in the game. There are the most different configurations and choices when you're entering your initials.
Can you even change the color of your car when you choose it?
You have to pick one of the cars.
Yeah.
That is it. One of the cars.
So, final thoughts. This game is terrible. Don't play it. I don't think it's as bad as Space Harrier.
I think it's better than Space Harrier.
Honestly, I enjoyed Space Harrier more.
I didn't.
There are things to shoot in Space Harrier. There are trees for you to trip on, and that's kind of amusing.
I feel like Space Harrier had more argument of my attention than this game did. But no, it's probably a better game, technically. But it's Brad.
This
it's
is in
so
the
bad.
Bottom third of our.
This is in the bottom.
Played.
5%
so we,
of
well,
what
I had
we
to
play.
Trip. I had to trip over a bad game eventually. I've been on a pretty good run lately.
We have played, including bonus episodes, over 65 games of this podcast. This is easily in the bottom five.
Speaking of comments, I read another ratings column. I'm ransoming it. If you want my ratings comment and tell me that I should post it.
Do I count? Can I comment and tell you to post it?
You count as half a vote.
Okay.
It's not enough
we
to
can
to
look at
it.
His post.
Oh, I put it on my Word document.
Yeah, it's not a draft yet. Unless you wrote it after I posted the show notes.
No, it's in a Word doc.
Okay, Ed, ransom Jeremy for the ratings column.
He's also
I
half
read
a
it.
Vote.
That guy, he's an
he's been on the podcast.
Oh.
He was our sixth ranger, remember?
Okay. Well,
he was here the last time the Green Ranger got mentioned.
All right, well, it's your turn to pick this week. What are we playing that's hopefully better than Cruising?
Okay, because I like flow charts.
Not going to be
again,
hard.
Again, I've got four options. I kind of want to pick something bad, honestly. This was a bad one, but we've been good lately. So I was thinking Random Master System game.
Random Master System?
No. Okay. I came up with three choices. Or we haven't played anything on the Neo Geo yet. So ooh. I'm going to throw Metal Slug in there.
Okay.
Fantasy Zone, which is called a surreal platformer for the Sega Master System.
Okay.
We can do a double and play Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic the Hedgehog 2, but the Master System versions.
Oh, God.
And I can't remember what the fourth one is, so you have to choose between those three.
I like the idea of Fantasy Zone. That sounds interesting.
Surreal platformer.
That's all I hear. It looks very Japanese.
It's
like Japanese, like stereotypical weird Japanese, not actually Japanese. you have the power to change your mind, Zach. You can sway the vote.
You can.
I really don't want to go to Sonic the Hedgehog, and I'm not feeling Metal Slug.
Okay, next time on Last Time, Fantasy Zone. You are now entering. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
and the best one, Zach, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus Last Time on Video Games.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over. Tentacle rape.